somewhere, all right? It's all good. Is everybody all right? I told you I was gonna preach on a Christmas tree, and I'm just going to go ahead and let y'all know there's not a Christmas tree in the Bible, okay? And so I wanted to go ahead and fill y'all in on that, all right? But we'll start off in John chapter number 3 with a very familiar verse to all of us, and it'll be John 3:16. And some of you know the verse well enough that you probably didn't have to turn over there, and but I hope you do. If not, this is probably one of the most well-known verses in your Bible, and for good reason, amen. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I looked at this, and of course, we've talked about it and already been said tonight about the greatest gift and the reason for the season, and we know that, right? I got to looking at a Christmas tree and just got to thinking on some things about a Christmas tree. And as I've said, there is no Christmas tree in your Bible. There's going to be somebody, and I don't know who you are, but you're going to do it. You're going to come tell me that the Christmas tree had its roots in paganistic stuff. And I appreciate that. And if you and I knew what everything had, what all had its roots in pagan stuff, we'd be in trouble. Somebody say amen. You probably couldn't drive your car. Well, somebody told me the other day the wheel was invented so they could move alcohol around easier. I don't know that. I'm just saying, I don't know that. No more than I know where the Christmas tree and how it come about. All right? So, there's all kind of, I was going to give you all kind of facts and information, but I'd rather just give you Bible if I can do that. All right? Now, I'm going to do this under the premise that a parable. How many of y'all remember the parables in the Bible? So Jesus gives us several parables in the Bible. And a parable, let me give you an easy and simple definition of a parable if I can. A parable is a tale about a simple or common subject to illustrate a deeper, valuable moral lesson. All right? So Jesus would take something that was everyday and something that was common, and then he would take that and he would bring out spiritual truth, using that as an illustration. Is everybody with me? So I want to do the same thing with a Christmas tree. All right? And as I told you, there were several sermons that I was working on and just couldn't get my finger on what I wanted to do or anything like this, but this thing got gooder and better as I went. All right? And so hopefully it'll be a blessing to you, but I'm going to start off, if y'all let me do that, with the star. Now, obviously, somebody messed up on our tree. All right? So I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was Miss Michelle that was practicing the pagan religion of putting a bow on top of it, or Miss Miranda that was about all that. Where's Miss Miranda at? Did she leave out? Oh, she's smoking? All right, so she's smoking, all right. So that's code, all right. Checking the nursery's code for... So, we want to look at a star. As I've already mentioned this morning, Numbers chapter number 24 and verse number 17. Now, I'm going to give you all a lot of Bible. I don't expect y'all to turn to it, but you can write these verses down. Most of the stuff that we're going to hear tonight is going to be verses, all right? You can go back and look them up. Miss Tracy, you're not going to be able to keep up. So, anyhow, I love you, but I appreciate what you're doing up there. But there ain't no way you're going to keep up, all right? So, we're going to read a lot of verses. But I want to take a look at the star. I was looking at a Christmas tree, and the top of our Christmas tree at our house has a star on it, all right? How many of y'all grew up with a star on top of your Christmas tree, all right? Or an angel, right? It was a star or an angel. Now, I don't know what this is right here. I don't know who does this. And y'all, probably every one of you got some big bow on top of your tree now because that's the fad, all right? But I grew up with a star and an angel. Did you know that I read about the star and the star of Bethlehem that we very much talk about. And I was doing a little bit of reading and doing a little bit of research on it. And do you know that it appears in the Bible that the only people that seen the star was the wise men? Nobody else made a big deal out of the star. Nobody else mentioned the star. Matter of fact, the king, he didn't mention anything about the star. Why is the star shining over there in Bethlehem? But the wise men were led to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem, by a star, where they met with king. And then when they left the king, the star, they followed the star, the Bible says, to Bethlehem. I got to reading on that and doing a little bit of study on that. And the word that is used is, of course, star. And it's our literal meaning of what you and I would know as a heavenly body, a star. But as I was reading behind one commentator, he said it was very much a possibility that it was an angel. And he said even though it was translated in our Bible as a star, as a possibility that it was an angel, a celestial being, because the star moved. The Bible says that it led them to Jerusalem, and then from there it led them to Bethlehem. And they were the only ones that seen it. Not everybody was seeing it, so obviously it wasn't in the heavens for everybody to see, or all of Jerusalem would have been making a fuss about it. All of the Jews would have been making a fuss about it. But yet the only ones that seen it was those from the east and the wise men. I just thought that was cool. It's not a part of the sermon, but I thought y'all might like it, all right? So it says here in Numbers chapter number 24 and verse number 17, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And that star, right there in that verse, is capitalized. It's not a little star. It's not a little S. It is a capital S. I need somebody to testify tonight. We know that there, if it's capitalized, there's a reason for it. And so this star that is being spoke of, that will come out of Jacob, is the Messiah or Christ, all right? So there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Once again, scepter, you'll notice in our up in the verse up here on the screens, if you're not there, you'll notice that the scepter is also capitalized. And so we have star and scepter in the same verse, and both are referring to the Messiah shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph. And so we see here a star all the way back in Numbers chapter number 24, a prophecy of the prophet Balaam as he was giving information. We see this star. We see that this star was shining bright, and this star had a significant purpose, and that was to shine the light on the Messiah. We'll notice in John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now the light that's talking about here is Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 1, verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12 said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter number 12, verse number 46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so when we see the star, I hope, and this is what I entitled this thing, A Fresh Look at the Christmas Tree. A Fresh Look at the Christmas Tree. When I think about the Christmas tree and I think about the star, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about his birth, as we talked about this morning. But also, I think about the light that came to shine in darkness. We got a star up on top of our tree, and it's got a little plane that goes around it. So the star lights up, and there's this little plane, and it says Merry Christmas, and it flies around. And me and Wyatt will get in there, and I say, Wyatt, what is a plane? What's a plane? What sound does a plane make? He'll say, meow. We'll do that for about an hour and a half. We'll just sit there, and it's funny what entertains me as a grandparent. All right, but looking at that thing, I think about the star. And I think about Jesus Christ coming into the world, a light unto the world. At the beginning, in his birth, we see him. But between his birth and the gift that we talked about in John chapter number 3:16 is a tree.
We look at the tree. I want you to notice a few things with me, if you will, about the tree. Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." This here's in reference, once again, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Jeremiah 33:15, "And in those days, and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 8, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And by the way, every time you hear me say branch, it's capitalized in your Bible, all right? So it's a direct reference, once again, to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter number 6, verse number 12 says, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is Branch, or is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." So as we look at this, we see that the Lord oftentimes in Scripture is referred to as a plant, as a branch, as a root out of dry ground. Does everybody see that? We see the tree, and I notice, how many of y'all know what kind of tree do we have for a Christmas tree? An evergreen tree. An evergreen tree. An evergreen tree, it stays green no matter what the conditions around it. It's a symbol of life. It's a symbol of life, but it's also a symbol of everlasting life, in that it does not lose its leaves or needles during the wintertime. Matter of fact, reading up on the tradition of bringing the Christmas tree into the home, and some of the things that I read about it, it was a reminder to them that spring was coming. As everything around them was dead, that evergreen tree stayed green throughout the winter seasons, reminding them that spring was once again coming. Y'all, I'm liking this. Is y'all all right? The Bible tells us, matter of fact, Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." I'm kind of liking it, all right? And as I was looking at the Christmas tree, now you can get it out of whatever you want to, but as I was looking at the Christmas tree and thinking about the star that's up on top of it, that's not up on top of that one, Lord help us, all right? And let's make that happen next year. But the tree, it was an evergreen tree. It was a symbol of life, a symbol of an everlasting life. But I also notice about that tree, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 5, verse number 20 or 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Acts chapter number 10, verse number 39, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." Acts chapter 13, verse 29, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every man," or every one rather, "that hangeth on a tree." 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might," or "that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So not only do we see Jesus in the star, not only do we see Jesus in the star, but we see Jesus also in the tree. As I was looking at this, I noticed the lights. Is everybody all right? Are y'all doing okay? Y'all writing all this down? No, you know it. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you just said? Oh, yes, you did. Did she just say that, brother? I thought what she just said. Just hush. All right. So she talking about her ancestors. Her ancestor was Noah. She wasn't talking about her ancestor. That's our uncle. But anyhow. All right, the star, the tree. Next, we see the lights. As I was looking at the lights, I was thinking about the Bible tells us in John, that Jesus was a light. He says, I am the light. He said this. He says, as long as I'm in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. But he's no longer in the world. And so the lights in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 8, it says, for ye were sometimes in darkness, or sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Matthew chapter number 5, from the Savior himself, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So not only we see a star, which represents the Lord, we can go right back to his birth, we can go right back to his life and understand that he is a light, but we see the tree, we notice the tree not only as a representation of his life and how it is everlasting, a representation of his life and how it is life. He is the branch, he is the vine, he is a root out of Jesse, but we also see the lights, and we see the lights, it's us. See, we ain't got nothing to do with the tree. The only thing you and I had to do with the tree was we were the ones that placed him on it. Y'all stay with me now. The only thing that you and I have to do as far as the tree goes in the life of Christ is you and I are the ones that placed him on that tree. Matter of fact, you and I deserved that tree. But he bore our sins and died on that tree. Cursed. So that you and I might have light. And because he died on that tree, and because he gave us life on that tree, you and I are to be just like those lights. We love a Christmas tree. My Christmas tree was up in like the beginning of November. Is everybody all right? Yeah, I know. Everybody says, man, you got to at least wait till after Thanksgiving. They shouldn't have put the two holidays so close together. I want to enjoy my Christmas tree, all right? And so the Christmas tree went up at the 1st of November. We love it at our house. Flip the lights on. You can see from my bedroom, you can see the living room, the glow of the lights in the living room, the Christmas tree. You don't have to have another light on in the house. And those lights on that Christmas tree will light up the living room, the kitchen area, the dining room. And even if you have the doors open, it'll right on into our bedroom. It ain't going to light our bedroom, but you know what I'm saying. You see the light. You and I will be just like those lights. We're to shine in such a manner that others can see the tree. I'm going to say that over here. Y'all, I know it, Jackson. I ain't got it over here yet. I'm feeling something over here. I feel demonic stuff happening right about in here. But anyhow, has there ever been a preacher that was hit while he was preaching? I'm just going to ask that question, and we'll get back to that later. But the light, you and I are to be lights into this world so that others can see the tree. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. But then the Bible teaches us later that you and I are the lights of this world. And you and I are to point others to the true light. Is everybody all right? All right. Let's look at the ornaments. Everybody good? The ornaments. I found these verses in Titus chapter number 2. Verses 9 through 14. Are you going to go to that? Is she even up there? Does she go out and smoke a cigarette? All right. Titus chapter number 2, verses 9 through 14. And I think she's looking. All right. It says this. It says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And we sit there and we say, now, wait a minute. Are you calling us servants? Well, doesn't the Bible call us that? Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Let me go ahead and help y'all out with something. We got a master too. All right? You may not answer to anybody in this world, but you and I will hold, we are accountable to someone in that world. We have a master. So exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Let me get back to my sermon notes right here. I want you to listen to this. Adorn here in this verse, it literally means to take precious jewels and arrange them so as to show their true beauty. In one sense, the gospel doesn't need adornment. At the same time, we can show the beauty of the gospel by the way we live. We often think we need better words to adorn the gospel. Better words are fine, but what we really need are better lives. I thought that was good. It's not mine, but I thought it was good. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Meaning, I ain't talking about what you dressed. Is everybody all right? I'm talking about the things of our life that show others the tree. What is it about mine and your life? I'm going to ask you this question. What is it about your life that shines a light to others where others can see the tree? And what is it in your life that makes Jesus look all that much better? Thinking about them ornaments, and I'm going to tell you what, man, I like them. You got all kind of different ornaments on the tree there, and I remember growing up. Now, let me go ahead and say this, and my mama probably going to kill me if she hears this, but putting up a Christmas tree was not fun at my house. Mama would she'd gather all of us around, Brother Jeremy, and she said, all right, we're going to put the Christmas tree up. I'm like, yay, everybody's excited. She said, all right, go put this ornament on the tree. Okay, but God, you put out, not right there. Right? Yeah. I need somebody to help me. Some of y'all got a mama like I do, amen? Not right there. Don't you see there's another one right there? No, I'm not seeing anything. You just told me to go put the thing on the tree, right? By the time it was over with, I was sitting down on the couch and like, I'm not doing it. And mama's like, I can't believe all y'all do. Y'all always make me do it. Nobody's making you do anything, but we're scared to death to even try to help you. Go put this on the tree. No, we're not right there. It's all I remember in my childhood of putting up a Christmas tree. But as we look at the ornaments, come on, y'all. We were sitting over at Brother Brian and Miss Stacy's here recently. And anyhow, we were there, and they have their Christmas tree up. And I'm telling you what, man, their Christmas tree is beautiful. And we sat there looking at it. It's all refined looking and all that other stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And it's got the little tinsel on it and everything else. And I told Michelle, I said, man, that's just beautiful. What's on the outside makes the tree look so much better. And in all honesty, there's a lot of people that ain't making Jesus look very good. There's a lot of people that are living their lives in such a manner to make others turn away from the tree instead of turning to it. We're the light of the world. You and I should be a light that shines on the tree, so that others may see the tree. But our lives should be lived as such that others think the tree looks even better and better. Oh, I got, are y'all ready? I go back to my own life. I got saved and Lord started using me to preach. And some of y'all's heard this illustration, but I'm all out of them. I ain't got any good ones that's heard that or new, and I don't make stuff up, all right? Well, I do, but not in this case. But anyhow, I went back to preach a revival. And Jesse, when I went back to preach that revival, one of Michelle's uncles come to me and said, man, I just can't believe what God has done in your life. Because he had seen me at my worst. the people in that revival, the people that were coming to that revival, Brother Jim, they were all family, all Michelle's family, and our land where we were at, where we lived at, was right there and amongst them, Brother Jeremy. So all them people in that church, they came and they remembered the Robbie that was getting drunk. Yeah. Her uncle that made that comment, I ran out in the driveway, Brother Ken, and tackled his truck, or at least tried to. Drunk out of my mind, doing stupid stuff. And he said, I can't believe what God's done in your life. The people that came out of that revival, all people that knew me and knew how I was before I got saved. That week in that revival, 12 people got saved. Before you say amen, we're talking about a church of about 30-something people. I mean, we ain't talking about no great big old church. We ain't talking about no huge 2,000-seat auditorium and all that other stuff. We're just talking about a little old church. And because a preacher who got saved and adorned himself with the gospel, others said, you know what? If God can do that for him, he can do it for me. And our lives are to be such that when others look at us, they say, you know what? If God can do that for Miss Beverly, then God can do that for me. If God can do that for Miss Brooke, God can do it for me. Oh, I'm feeling it. Are y'all all right? If God can do that for Jake and Jenny, where's Jake at? He's smoking too? She even said he's smoking, all right? If God can do that for Jake and Jenny, then he can do that for... If God can do that for Matt and Miranda, I could go on. Listen, just put your name in it right here. If God can do that for... Y'all got to do it for you. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how to do this, all right? Put your name in it. If God can do it for... Then God can do it for me. And that's how you and I are to live our lives, as such that others see it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the verses right underneath adorning ourselves, the doctrine of God. We see the star, we see the tree, we see the lights, we see the ornaments. Are y'all, is this all right? I didn't know how it was going to go. I'm going to be honest with you. Lastly, the gifts. The gifts. Come on now. The Christmas tree is wonderful, but how many of y'all just look at a Christmas tree and say, it's good? No, we want, come on, y'all help me. We want gifts underneath it. All these super spiritual people talking about, nah, God's given me enough. I don't want anything underneath. Wife says, what you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't want anything. Bless God, if she got you nothing, then hey, I need somebody to help me right here. Be pitching a fit over there, your little pouty pout. I need somebody to help me. Now, for me, this is how I've learned to deal with this. I just go buy what I want. Right? We was walking in. Did I tell y'all this story about me and Michelle? We was walking through Sam's the other day, and there was something that I wanted in Sam's. And it didn't cost that much money. So, Brother Jeremy, I just grabbed it, right? I grabbed it and I threw it in the buggy. Michelle grabs it out of the buggy. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't see it. But she grabs it out of the buggy and I turned around. I'm like, it was a pillow. I said, where's my pillow? She said, you get on my last nerve. I said, I know what that means. I know what I'm getting for Christmas. Somebody say amen. Amen. I got it. I already know. $14 pillow. She takes it. I grab it, throw it in things. She takes it. Kids always ask me, what do you want? I don't want anything. I just want y'all to be happy. I'm lying. I want them to buy me a shotgun. Ain't none of them can afford it. If they could afford it, they wouldn't be at my house eating. Somebody say amen. Like them gifts. The Bible says in James chapter number 1, verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our text verse tonight, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There was a gift that was given to you and I, and it was the Son of God. I'm not going to get back on the preaching that we had this morning, but we see that gift. Without that gift, there is no eternal life. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, not only do we see a gift of a Savior, not only do we see that gift is from above and that gift is from our Father, but we see in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 7 of Ephesians chapter number 3, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 7 and 8, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I see those gifts, and those gifts automatically draw me to and you to the greatest gift that was ever given, that being our Savior, Jesus Christ, a gift of God. We realize that that gift is from the Father. All gifts, all good gifts, all great gifts come from the Father. But then we get into Ephesians and we start seeing the grace, the gift of grace. And we see, I need somebody to help me right here, because those gifts that are given to us, as we look, it ain't just one gift that's down there. It's many gifts. I need somebody to help me right here. There's been much grace that's been extended in my life, Brother Jeremy, because I have failed him over and over again, and there's been much grace that has been gifted in my life. But the Bible tells me that I'm to stir up the gift that is given to me. God has given some gifts inside of us, Brother Kenny, and I'm to stir up those gifts, bring them to remembrance. And then the last verse I read said that I'm to minister to others and give them the gifts that's been given to me. Man, I hope y'all look at a Christmas tree different tomorrow. I hope you look at a Christmas tree different on... You can take anything, listen to me. You can take anything and make it ugly. We've proven that in this world. Everything you do, they're going to turn it around. Somebody's going to turn it around and make it ugly. Or we can embrace the traditions that we were raised in. You know what? I was raised, I don't ever remember not having a Christmas tree in our house. And not one time did I think, man, that was pagan. People used to worship it. Not one time. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't even know that. Somebody help me right here. If it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't even know the origin of a Christmas tree. And I don't care. What I do know is that my family raised me in such a manner that we had a Christmas tree every year, and it never took away from Christ. Never one time took away from me going to church. Never one time did it make me think that the whole holiday season was about a tree. Is everybody all right? But as I look at that tree, as I sit back, having been saved for, good Lord, how long has I been saved, Michelle? 20-something years. Long time, she says. She don't know. That's code for I can't count that high. Oh, I'm not going to count that high. Not going to do the math in my head. That's code for that. 22. 22. years. And I see things differently. Brother Jesse, I'll never forget. How many of y'all remember the illustration Brother Jesse gave of the blade of the bulldozer and how, or the motor grader, and how it shined up as that friction and that dirt as it was moved? We see things when you've been saved for a while. You start to see things that just common to everybody else, but you start to see them a little differently. And yeah, we preachers, we tend to put a spiritual meaning to it, and I hope I did tonight. But as I looked at that Christmas tree, I thought about that, and I just threw verses in there, but all that was I was thinking as I was looking at that thing. That star up on the top of it. Star of Bethlehem. Let the whole world announce to the whole world that there was a Savior born. A tree, His life, evergreen. A symbol of life, a symbol of life eternal. Cut down. But still alive. That'll catch some meaning in there in a little bit, Brother Jesse. The lights are there so that others can see the beauty of the tree. The ornaments are there to make the tree look that much better. And then the gifts. How many gifts have God given to us? Many. Many. God's been so good to us. The grace of God, the gift of the grace of God. If we just stop right there, we couldn't count the gifts that we received just of the grace of God. But God gave His Son a gift, the greatest gift. And God said that we're to take of the gifts that are given to us and that we are to minister to others. This year, let me challenge you, this upcoming year, to have a different view of the Christmas tree. Let me challenge you to be a light into the world. Let me challenge you to adorn yourself with the doctrine of God so that you're drawing more people to the tree. And then the gifts that God has bestowed upon us, let us share those and give them to others. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I thank You, Lord, for simplicity.